Hi, I'm Sam Stokes. In preparation for returning to the littoral experiment, we're going through how to use Azure Machine Learning. Azure Machine Learning allows us to set up experiments. One of the important things about experiments, especially ones where you may not be actually taking the data, is that sometimes instrumentation will give you false information or may skip a few cycles because of radio connections or something like that. We need to be, and your software needs to be smart about that, because a few skipped sample points may actually impact your overall sample. So it's better to make sure you don't put in incorrect things or things that are out of the expected pattern. As an example, if I'm taking a water temperature in the ocean, and the average water temperature from all my sensors, let's say there's six, is around 63 degrees, one, we know we're not in Seattle area, and two, if one of the instruments suddenly says for a few cycles it's 95 degrees or it's 35 degrees, then we know that the temperature is incorrect. Now, those are in Fahrenheit. So the reason why we're using machine learning is so that we can begin to look at sensors, make sure that they're calibrated, and make sure that they're operating within their calibration limits. So today what I want to do is go through the process of creating an R-based experiment from beginning to end. So this will be done in demo versions. But first, what I'd like to do is switch to Visual Studio to review what we did in the last video when we were working with Python. Or in our last session, we spoke about how to use Python. I would like to review that briefly. First of all, in using Visual Studio 2015 Release Candidate, File, New, Project, and by default, if you load the Python on, it loads 3.4. So there are slight differences in the way that 3.4 works. If you're used to 2, you need to take a look at 3.4. Things like print requires the parentheses. So I'm going to type in Hello World. And now I'm going to open a standard Python application. And in here, you would type in your Hello World application. Once you do that, you would save it to here. And we'll take a quick look at that. So here's the code. And so it's fairly standard. It just ran. So we'll extract the zip file so you can see it. And as you can see here, I still have this in the 2.0 version, so I'll upgrade this to the 3.0 or 3.4 version. You do that by adding a parentheses around the print output. And now that that's fixed, we'll go ahead and do a save as, or just do a save, and now we can use this. One of the things you if you may remember, is that I do need to make this into a zip file. So I'll send this to a zip compressed device folder, and there we go. So now when I go into my machine learning, I need to make sure I have data sets open, and then I click on new. For the Python, I need to click on data set, from local file. I need to browse to the file, the zip file, not the PY file. So I click on the browse, and now I'll pick up the zip file. And it gives me a name for the extension, so we'll just leave it at HelloZip. It's a zip, and if you do the drop-down, there's a bunch of other ones that you can use, but only zip for the Python. And then you should include Hello World for your optional description. You should always get into practice of providing an optional description. So once that's done, the It'll upload the Hello Zip, and it will appear under my datasets. Even though it's Python code, it's appearing under the datasets. Next, I want to open up an experiment, and I'll create a new experiment. And then we're going to go into how to set up your experiment in its complete process. Hopefully in about 15 minutes we'll be able to cover that. There are many examples online that show you how to do it, but I wanted to go over it just to make sure. Okay, so Hello Zip comes in here. And then next I want to add a Python file. Now this Python component here, the script, the execute Python script, is a way that you can type in your own Python script into this execute the Python script. So I'm going to connect the Hello Zip. Now notice these two are red and this one's green, so this one will accept the zip file. Next, I need to open a Python file, a script, and over here you can see that this is in blade mode, so I'll open it up, and this script needs to be replaced. And I've written some script to replace it. Now this is not even 3, this is 3.4, but a special kind called Anacondra, and you need to be aware of that. When you read the articles about the Python script, they'll mention Anacondra. What they usually are talking about is using it in here. Anacondra, great way to do Python, and you should have it on your machine, but you don't necessarily have to have it on your machine. So here what we're going to do is we're creating a, we create a main file. This is where we enter the Python script. We import pandas. Now pandas are not little, in this case, not little cute black and white bears. This is a math tool that allows us to do plotting and so forth. We're also going to import hello, which is this hello.zip, what's inside of hello.zip. And then we're going to print it out. Now notice hello print underscore hello. Notice that world is inside of parentheses, just like what we just did. And then the data frame will be in the output. So once we have that done, we'll run our application. While it's running, let's see if the blade will close. Nope. It'll take just a few seconds for that to close. Once it has completed, we can go in and take a look at the output file. Now it does take a little while to run. This is the completely free workspace. I signed up for, this uses a an account that I use for DreamSpark and for other applications that are completely free. Because it's free, there's some throttling, which means that this does not receive a high priority over people that are paying for the use of machine learning. So I wouldn't, if you're paying for this or you're using a like MSDN, you'll see that this operates much more rapidly. So we'll wait for a few more seconds. Usually this will take just a few seconds, but because it really doesn't do much. Okay, now it's just being silly. Okay, so we get the green check, and we want to check the output, so we can come down here and do visualize. Let's see what's on here. Doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, it does. It does. Okay. So it comes in here, and it shows that it's no errors, and really no graphics because there isn't anything to do, and it shows that it ran the zip file, the hello.py, successfully. Now, we're not going to see any output. There wasn't any really any output to be looked at. But if we did have a graph, we would be able to use it. So this is, I just wanted to make sure we went over and reviewed how to use the Python. This will become more important as we move through our IoT products. So next, I'm going to go back to experiment. We're going to start an experiment that is a little more complex than what we've looked at before and has a lot of samples out there that you can look at and so forth. So I'm going to create a new experiment. I'm going to start with a blank experiment. Now, I have gotten my data. Your manager, research director, whatever, has come up with some information, and he likes the schema of this file. Now, this is the German credit file that you can get readily from the website that is discussed on here. This is where the UCI, this is from the UCI data. And so they've collected some large data sets that you can use in your machine learning experimentation. Now you notice there's no column headers here, and I'm going to show you how to make that adjustment without having to add them in Excel. So once we're done with this, working at it, look at it, and so forth, you can go ahead and leave it open. And for right now, we'll probably be coming back to that shortly. So the next thing we want to do is, and I've already imported it, is you do want to do the import of the data set, but this is a true data set. And so now I'm going to import from a local file. So I'll browse. And in this case, I am looking for a CSV file. And so I would look through here and see if I can find my German CSV file. And we'll do that. So we'll type in CSV. And here it is, German CSV. And then I'll go ahead and click on open. And there's already an existing data set, but I'm going to click on this anyway. Well, we'll go ahead and take that. And then the next one is, does it have a header? No. So we're going to select no header. We're going to add a header a little bit later on. And down here I have an optional, this is already in it, and I already had entered no header used for dev radio. A few lines help you remember why things exist. Okay, so now I click on the check, and away we go. Okay. So this can get cluttered, so you can always click on dismiss complete and those things get dismissed. Now we'll go back to our data set. And we'll get this one. Click on that. That's not the one I want. Because we're going to create a new one. So we'll just create a new one, and we'll call this one the credit data analysis. So takes a second, click on the blank one. There's a lot of good tutorials in here, you should work through them. All right, so now we can just where it says experiment created on 6/22, I'll select that, and call this one the credit check experiment. Okay. Next, what we want to do is, we already have our data set that we created. Now remember, this is from a Excel spreadsheet that I saved as a CSV. So I'm going to move this over to here. My little magical background disappears. Boom. And so now we've created our workspace. And that's all we're going to do about now we uploaded our existing data. So we've done two things. We've created a learning workspace. We've uploaded our existing data. And now we want to get the create a new experiment. Okay, so we've clicked on new. We've added our data. But now we need to prep our data. So we're going to use something called the metadata editor. Well, I don't want to go searching for that. So I know I need my metadata editor, which sounds very mysterious or like metaphysics. So I drag it over here. And I'll connect my CSV, because remember, this doesn't have any headers, so I want to add headers to it. So I come back over here to my properties, and I want to click on that, and I want to launch my column selector. Okay, so now what I want to do is I have to determine, do I want no columns or add columns? So we're going to add columns. I mean all columns, not add columns. And then we're going to click our check mark. Okay, I selected all columns, include. Mm-hmm. forgot to delete the role. If there wasn't anything done to it, it thinks I'm making a mistake. Okay, once I've done that, I want to select new column names. And I happen to know that the column names can map to things like status of checking account, and so forth. This is explained in the UCI website that has the data. So now I pop that in there and take off any trailing spaces. And so my selected columns are all columns. And then I'm going to supply new column names, telephone, foreign worker, and so forth. Now some of these are numeric and some are not. Okay, we leave everything else unchanged. And my experiment is looking like I have my UCI German credit card data here, and then my metadata editor here. And now I can also zoom to fit, and even though, so there's two of them and they get kind of big so we can see them easily. Next, we want to create the training and test databases. So we need to split the data, and in this case, we're going to split it 50-50. Now we're selecting 50-50 for no good reason. We could go the other way if you wanted to, but I'm going to just go ahead and pick 50-50 because then I don't have to make any changes. I can just talk about them. So I need to split the data. And the reason why I'm splitting the data is so that I can train it. So I'll throw a split in here. And then from the metadata, I'm going to come here. And And if I double click this, if I open up the properties, and you can see the fraction of row in the first output data set on the left side is 0.75. Whatever the remainder of one comes out the right side. I'm not going to change the random seed and not going to do the stratified split. Okay, properties go away. Next, we need to add execute R, just like we did the execute Python, and we've done execute R in some strained manner. So I'm going to throw this over here. And we're going to have to shrink the screen just a little bit so that we can see it all at this resolution. And so hopefully it doesn't disappear completely from your screen. Okay, now UCI German credit card data, metadata editor, split, and we have an execute R script. Now what I need to do is take my input port here, one, and input it into my data set. Then I need to do some other data and then output it on the output set. So let me go ahead and open up my execute R script. And I do that by also opening that up. I'm going to delete the existing R in here, which you could do just as easily, or you can import your R as we've talked about before. Okay, so now I'm going to put in that data that gets my data, or the R script that gets my data moving into the data set that I want it to. So here we go. So we've talked about Python, R. So we can see that the Python system is fairly robust. We can use Python, we can use R script, and these are two languages that are used largely in the economic world. So if you're thinking about making some sort of Uber system to play the stock market, make sure you only use money that you can lose, because I can tell you that doesn't work. Okay. Right-click the, and we already did the right-click, so we got to there by right-clicking, and that's right. Okay, so I'm going to copy, and now I'm going to paste, because I need two of these. Okay, so now we're over here. So we've got execute R script 1 and execute R script 2. They both do the same thing. Remember, we're doing an experiment. We're going to see which one's the better one to use in our final system, right? That's why these are called experiments. So you're going to see how to take your experiment and make it into a useful thingamajiggy without all the extra silliness of these extra boxes and so forth. You'll see that in a few minutes. The extra boxes are needed in the experiment, which is, from our point of view, the fun thing to do. But now we need to train and evaluate our models. And this has nothing to do with training and selecting. That's just going to get me in trouble. Forget that. All right. So we're also going to do a two-class boosted decision tree. Wow, that sounds either impressive or weird. So let's take a look at that. There we go. Two-class boosted decision tree. Now, this creates a binary classifier. Let me explain this a little more in depth. So there's a number of things that you use in the machine learning. You may be making up a bunch of things, but you probably should go through and look at things that have already been built, because these are tested and they know that they work. So let's say you're looking at stocks and you want to go through the stock market and determine sinusoidal stocks. Now, this is kind of a scam a few years ago where people would sell you this model where you could go in and tell what stocks kind of weave through a wave kind of situation. And so maybe you set this up and you have a sinusoidal thing that you're looking for. Well, you might want to go in and look and see if there wasn't somebody that did it and made their money off of it and ran it. So the two-class boosted decision tree is not a scam. This actually probably did somebody some good. And in this case, it's a binary classifier, so it's either good or bad, but it boosts the decision tree algorithm. So you may be familiar with decision tree algorithms, and this takes a whole bunch of little tiny decision tree algorithms and puts them together. So the output of one tree inputs into another tree, and then it does something, and then it outputs to another one. What that means is that this is a fairly memory-intensive system. So just be aware of that. That's costly, by the way, if you're not using the free system, and really slow if you are. Okay, then we want to do the train model module, which I always think of as having little trains, but no, we're doing this with a train model. And the train model, drag this over here, and depending on your neatness level, you'll probably want to be screwing around with these all day long to get them just perfect. And so now we'll drag this over. Notice that little green light came on, and now we're going to drag this down here. And so this two-class boosted decision tree is going to feed into the train model, and this will help us train our model. Now, the execute script doesn't have anything coming into it, so we'll put that over here. And then this one will, we'll run this one right over to here. And we'll run this one right over to here. There we go. And this is awesome. So now, we should have a two-class support vector model. Now, the two-class support vector model is unlikely to be as good as the two-class boosted decision tree. And we'll see why, because we'll have a little graph that shows us the better curve. And that'll be kind of cool. And then we also need to normalize our data, because gosh knows we don't want to use abnormal data. And so I'll kind of straighten this up here, and I need to have normalized data. Yay, normalized data. I'm normalized data. It's normalized, not normalized. Okay, so I need to get my output from my execute R script to my normalized data. The two-class vector will ask, and support vector will act just the same as the two-class boosted decision tree. And so I need to have my train model down here. So I can come up here and just right-click and copy it. There's nothing in the train model, so there was really no reason to just copy it. But we'll see in just a few minutes that that is... And it does cause us a little work, because now we've got to get rid of these links. So I'm just going to put it off. It's okay. I mean, you may need to do that, but I'll just pick one up, and then I don't have to take those two links off. Okay, train model and link from two-class vector model. This maps to what we're doing here. And then try that again. Yay. All right. Normalized data. All right. There we go. Okay, so we're just about done with our scoring and so forth. But oh, wait, we forgot our scoring model. So now we need to get our scoring model on here. So you need to scroll down just a wee bit. And let's go over here and maybe thinking, how do I know all this stuff? How would you know all this stuff? Well, my recommendation, pull out your statistics book from college and start digging into it. Almost everybody had to take statistics, no matter what your major was, and it actually can be used to make money. Okay, so now my score model is dragged down here, and I want to, since I'm scoring the model, I have to connect this to the output of the tree decision model, BAM, and the, wait a second, so I can't connect to that, and this guy here goes way down here, and that should do it. Wait a second. I am missing a normalized data. So I need two normalized data. I need to normalize the data that goes into this train model. And then I need this scoring here. So this is correct. So this is connected to the execute R script on the right side and the train model of the execute R script on the left side. Now I need to add another score model to be comparing, and then I'll do an evaluation module down here at the bottom. So now I have my train model to my score model. Now I go to my normalize, and my normalize goes to the train model, but I need another normalize to go through and normalize the execute script. So I need to so my normalized data needs to be 10H, which sounds like a trigonometry equation, and for good reason, because it is. Beyond the scope of this, discuss why I would select that instead of z-score or something like that. So we'll do 10H, and then I need to do column selector, all columns, exclude. I want to exclude the credit rating. I don't want the credit rating. And that's what I'm trying to do, is get a credit rating. So I can either do indies, the credit rating I happen to know is 21, or I can just use the column name. And so now I can press to enter the credit risk. And then check. And let's see. Right. And I didn't quite get this right. I don't want to include all columns. You know, I want to add another one. Oops, I don't want to include that. I want to exclude that. So I made a mistake. Go back up here. I do want all columns. Okay, so all columns, exclude, column name, credit risk. Okay. Next, we want to include all the columns with numbers. Okay, now the mistake was because I forgot to tell the train model what to use to evaluate, and that would be the credit risk. And I need to do that for both of the train models because they're basically, we're doing a comparison between two processes. So we have that one, and now we're going to need to do this one. Open the blade up. Include credit risk. And there we go. Okay, that should do it. So now let's go ahead and run it. Probably going to be a mistake anyway, but we'll give it a shot. Okay, now this runs. And it will take a little bit, or it'll make a liar out of me, one or the other. So we see our little clock starting. Once the clocks appear, then that's what it counts as its runtime. But if you have a premium version, this takes about, right about now, 15 or so seconds. But then again, you're paying for it. This is free. So you can use this machine learning tool for no cost. And I would recommend that you do so. But I do want you to see how long it does take in real time. And then once we're done with this, we're just about done with this presentation. But let's make sure we're just keeping an eye on that. And we have an error. Normalized data did not like the way that I presented the information. Yes, darn it. So we need to fix that. Because once this is fixed, this one will be fixed. I'll just copy it. So the problem here is that my exclude credit risk, I need to also exclude all the columns that are not numeric. Or I could try this and move it around, but I already tested it. I know what's wrong. So now what I need to do is go into Excel and just look at the columns to see which ones are alphanumeric. So, okay, so now we've fixed our exclude column names. We've excluded column name credit risk, as well as all the other alpha based or string type of columns. Now, this is basically being used for the schema for your data set. Now, once I expand this and run it, we should be able to see our evaluation model. This will take just a few minutes. Okay, now we can see that the green checks are starting to show up. Looks like we've made it through our, we're still waiting for normalized data to finish. And so as the clocks begin to turn to green checks in just a few seconds, we'll be happy. Now, you do need to understand your data quite well. When you're working with this, sometimes it's easier to use R script, and that may be the case, but you're going to see that there's some coolness that'll happen. Okay, so the green check came up on the normalized data. That was where our problem was, and we'll look pretty good. Now, this will go through the train model, the score model, and so forth, but then what we're going to do once this runs and we'll see our graph, we'll go ahead and clean this up. We're going to take off the two-class support vector machine. And okay, so down at the bottom you can see prepare web service, publish to gallery, create scoring experiment. To create our scoring experiment, we'll need to delete a few things. And to do that, we can first of all, we'll want to visualize our output. So if we come down here to the evaluate, we'll right-click and visualize. And unlike before, we get a nice graph. So we can see that the two data sets pretty much at the endpoints are pretty close, as we might expect. There's some divergence between, let's give it significant divergence between 0.3 and 0.6. So we know that there's a big difference there. So we know after 0.6, they both begin to converge back in. So depending on where your measurements are being taken, you can kind of figure out what the difference is going to be between the two data sets and how they're scored. So I'm going to pick the basically the left side and get rid of the things that are on the right side. So what I'm going to do now is convert this into a useful experiment. Okay, so to make this useful to others, we'll need to publish it as a web service on Azure. So we want to convert this to a scoring experiment. So we'll save the model. And we'll trim the experiment to remove modules that are only needed for the, that we were only using for the training, because the train model is actually training our experiment. So we'll just, we've created the scoring experiment and some of the things have been removed. And now we need to remove a few more. Okay, so we're running our, we had to pick the train module that I wanted to keep. And as we can see here, the experiment now morphs into something that's a little bit more readable and usable. The other items that we had here were basically used in the training of the module. Now that the module's been trained and has become useful, now we want to not have it in a highly modifiable state. So if you're using R, this is saves you quite a bit of work over the R system. And we still need to take a couple more things out. So you notice here we have web service output as well as the web service input. So you can use this on your web pages inside your Raspberry Pis, whatever you need to do. You can use this to help make your system smarter. So there's a couple of additional steps. We need to remove the one execute R script. We don't need the R script. It's now included. And so we'll go ahead and cut it. And we'll connect the metadata. To the score model. We've got to get input to our score model. So we take that from the metadata over to here. And our metadata editor is connected to our score model. And we'll go ahead and grab these and pull them down a little bit. But did you have to do that? Yes, no, maybe not. There we go. All right, so we have our web service in. So the data set that we brought in is only being used for schema. That's it. And so we have our metadata editor. We have our machine learning experiment, our score model, and our web services. So we've now completed our entire machine learning experiment. And the only thing that we have left to do is to publish. And we'll go ahead and click run again so we can get the publish to work, and we'll see how to publish it. This will publish your web service endpoints that you need to use for your websites and other products. And there's our publish website services. So we'll go ahead and click on the publish web services. And there are examples of how to do this included in the publish web services. They don't make sense unless you do it all the way with the publication, that process that I showed you. So I can test this. I can download a workbook. So let's go ahead and click on test. And I should have used a little smaller one. It's got like a million columns that you have to enter data for. And anyway, if you want to play around with that, that's fine. And so you could test it. If you have a smaller one, you can test it. It can also download an Excel workbook, which I'm not going to show you because there's a secret inside of it that I don't want to show you, but I'll show you what it looks like without the secret. All right, well, in just a moment, as soon as the... Oh, here it is. So now once this is my test and it's returned these values, of course, there wasn't anything that I put in there. If there had been, it would have run the learning experiment. And then in the Excel spreadsheet that's automatically generated, you have to enable macros, and you would enable macros, and you should be doing this carefully. So I'm going to go in here and show you how to turn it off. Trust Center, and Trust Center settings, macro settings, and I'll just disable all macros with notification. But when you come in here for the first time, you'll want to enable all macros, or enable ones that are digitally signed, of course. So I'll just go ahead and show you that. Now I'm going to disable it. And Trust Access, nope. Okay, so we're done. This is, you've seen the complete experiment process. We've used R to implement this complete experiment. You can see a functioning spreadsheet here. And you need to be very cautious when you're using this spreadsheet. If you're showing this to people, this access key gives people a good solid key to your kingdom. But if you're using free workspace, what's the worst that's going to happen? Nothing. So, but you should always be cautious about that. Okay, so in conclusion, what we've done here, let's take a look at everything we've done. We've done quite a lot today. So we went over the Python and made sure you understood how to use the Python. The Python scripts. We also went in and created a full machine learning experiment and discussed a little bit about the processes of doing so. We also implemented a few problems, mildly intentionally, so that you could see some of the items you might have to work on. Our normalized data didn't quite normalize the way we expected it to. We had to add the actual headers. The system didn't appear to be able to differentiate between numeric and string. We talked a little bit about the two-class boosted decision tree, and talked nothing about the two-class supported vector machine. We did run two solid different experiments, and all of this is referenced from a walkthrough series by Gary Erickson, and you can find that on Microsoft Azure, azure.microsoft.com, and type in walkthrough step one, and that's what shows up. So it's Gary Erickson, and it's a fairly recent one, and it works quite nicely. So I've shown you some of the how to start from a Excel spreadsheet, how to modify the Excel spreadsheet so that it shows the data that you need to have it show, how to split your data, how to execute two R scripts that are the same, put them into two different training modules, use two different tools to train your model, and then we went in and discussed how to update your scoring experiment and how to prepare the web service. So your machine learning should be able to go all the way from beginning to end. In the next few modules, we'll be talking about how to take data from a Raspberry Pi and get it into your Azure machine learning experiment. We'll also be talking about how to use the free DreamSpark Azure offering using MySQL and your data to be able to show it on your website that you might create using DreamSpark. Finally, this is a perfect fit for learning mathematical modeling. You can bring in your R language modules that you may create during a statistics class in high school or college and be able to bring them into Microsoft Machine Learning and use existing proven statistical tools with some of your new ideas and then be able to put them into the gallery. And if you want to, not everybody does, but if you want to, you could actually put them up for a few dollars. There's a certain limit to a lower price range. But you can add your gallery here, and this is a great way to get people to learn about who you are and what you're interested in. So there are many things that you can do. There's speech APIs that are provided by machine learning, face APIs. This is a great one to play around with. Tutorials using the ggcode plot 2 for your histograms and so forth, weightlifting exercises, and recommendations. So all of these things you can bring in and really begin to learn a lot about machine learning and its impact on the world around you. So thank you very much, and over and out.